In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're at the top of page 2. This is part 3. And we begin volume 34, 7/4/1937. Jesus says, "But do you know where we, the triune God, are free to form this divine life of ours?" So here, Jesus is showing that it's not just the human life that he wants to bring about, but the life, the image and likeness of God. And so he looks at us and he says, "Do you know where the triune God is free to form this divine life?" And he says, "It's in Louisa, the one who lives in our most holy divine will." So this divine life was formed in Our Lady. She's the mother and queen of heaven and earth. Now Jesus as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve, have a newborn, a firstborn. This is a human born of original sin. And this is Louisa Picaretta. And this is why we go to Louisa. She's the one who possesses this gift. We want this gift, but Jesus has to see in us life of Louisa, which is the spiritual DNA of Jesus, the spiritual DNA of Mary. It's to live this abundant life in God's most holy divine will. So Jesus says, our divine fiat prepares the prime materials for us in order to form our life. So the prime materials of God, which is God's image and likeness, are formed in Louisa. So the three powers that God gave to us, our intellect, memory, and will, Jesus shows us that our intellect, we have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. We have to begin to see things from Jesus's point of view, number one, for our intellect to be clear. And this is why the teachings of the church are so important. It's Jesus speaking to his church through the ministerial priesthood, through the bishops, through the dogma and doctrine of our faith. And as we listen, what happens is we become free, we become joy-filled, we become happy. When somebody goes against the teachings of the church, what happens at that point is they become filled with fear, worry, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. But when we hear, when we think with the mind of Christ, which is the teachings of the church, you're never brought to a point of despair or sadness. Because there's no sadness in thinking the way Christ thinks. And again, no one is there yet. Our Lady is there. She's the mother and queen of heaven and earth. And now Louisa is. Louisa has the intellect. Jesus has spoken to Louisa. Louisa has put down on paper the truths of the Holy Spirit. And over the course of 64 years, she learned this. She learned how to think with the mind of Christ. And that's what God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us with the first power that he gave to us, our intellect, to begin to see things, understand things from a divine perspective. The second is your memory. Most people are focused on their own self. And, they said this about me. They did that about me. They did this against my family. They did that against my family. And you're filled like you look at the wars that have gone on. They've gone on for centuries because the memory is that of what they did against us. And Jesus says that we have to, he says, do this in memory of me. Okay, so it's not only the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but to remember Jesus. This is why we have the Holy Rosary. When you go through the mysteries, you are with Our Lady. You're looking at Jesus with the loving eyes of the Blessed Mother. You're doing this in memory of Jesus and Mary. And this is what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to stop thinking about ourselves, our hurts, and to forgive. He says you have to have the heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. So we have to forgive everybody, members of our family, members of our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, people we have come in contact with, you know, and we have to learn how to forgive, because that's what Jesus requires. He says, if you don't forgive, he says, how can your Heavenly Father forgive you? To have that heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified must be in our lives. And then the third is your will. To get to live in God's holy divine will, you have to surrender your intellect to the mind of Christ. You have to surrender your memory to remember of Jesus. And then you go to your will say, I use your free will. I want to choose to no longer live in my human will. And again, what is your human will? It's when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live this life any longer. I don't want to be like this. I want to live the way you, Jesus, want me to live. And that's entering into your divine will, to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So what happens is, to understand how to live in the will of God, you have to give up your human thinking. You have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. You know, you go to Holy Mass on Sunday. Well, I don't want to go to Holy Mass on Sunday. I don't feel like going. Well, God said, keep holy the Sabbath. And this is how we are to keep holy the Sabbath, by attending the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And you go, okay. Well, what happens in time is if you don't go, you miss it. You really miss Holy Mass. You feel that the need to be there is so important. So you're learning to see things with the mind of Christ, to see things from a divine perspective. Humanly, we don't like rules and regulations. We want to be free. And that freedom always leads us, when we're separated from God, to hell, to live a life of hell while on earth. And a lot of people have done that, making mistakes in their life. They begin to live a life for the rest of their life because of the wrong choices that they've made. And yet God will work in there. God will use that when we surrender to God, when we're docile, when we're submissive. God will use that mistake, and he'll make glorious things happen if we turn to God. A lot of people, once they make a mistake, they make another mistake and then another mistake and then another mistake, and they seem to go farther and farther and farther away from God. But when we turn back to God and begin to see things from a divine perspective, listening to our dogma and doctrine, the mind of the church, the faith of the church, and then from there, our memory is not to think about us, pity, pity me, but to, Lord, I am sorry that you have to go through this. It's always looking at Jesus. And then finally, to surrender your human will, using your free will to surrender to live in your human will so you can live in God's holy divine will. So again, our divine fiat prepares the prime materials for us, and that's our intellect, memory, and will, in order to form our divine life in the soul. So what God has given to us, he says, I want it no longer to be a fallen nature. I want it to be a glorified nature, which Jesus possesses, which Mary possesses. So he says, it places in attitude its divine power, its divine sanctity, its divine love, and calls us, triune God, into the depth of the soul. So that's what God is doing. As we read, as we study, as we get deeper and deeper into this great gift of the divine will, he says God places in attitude divine power, divine sanctity, divine love. God is doing this. He didn't do this with the saints. The saints did not have Louisa. The saints did not have the Book of Heaven. He's doing this with us in order to call us back into the depths, call God, the triune God, into the depths of our soul. So instead of the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We begin to live the life that God has planned for us from the beginning of time. And then he says, and then we, triune God, finding the adaptable and workable matter with indescribable love, form our divine life in that soul. And that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us to get out of the way. He's waiting. He keeps on saying to Louisa, let me do this. You know, be attentive. Let me do this. What's Jesus saying? He says very clearly, the triune God will then find us adaptable, and we will be like putty in his hand, putty work. He can work us with indescribable love. So how is he adapting to us with indescribable love? How is he working with us, you know, the workable matter like putty? It's with indescribable love. Why? To form God's divine life in us. That's what God's waiting for. So he's looking at us, and he's asking us to read, to study, to put this into practice, and God is going to do this. When you read St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, they'll be the greatest saints of the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's this, the triune God finding us adaptable and workable. And then with indescribable love, God forms his divine life in us, as he originally planned with Adam. So what is God doing at this point? It's a time of sanctification. The time of creation, when God said, fiat lux, everything began. With the time of redemption, where Our Lady said, fiat mihi, everything began. That God became man. And now, with this time of sanctification, the time of the third fiat, Jesus is asking us to speak the fiat voluntas tua. So God did the first fiat, Our Lady did the second fiat, and now we are supposed to learn to say the third fiat. Again, Jesus is the Word. So he spoke fiat lux. Mary is the Mother of God, Theotokos. She speaks fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. And now we, and we're supposed to be the little children of the Holy Divine Will, speak that third fiat, the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me, in this dirt, on earth, as it is in heaven. God breathed into the dirt, into the dust, his image and likeness in Adam. He breathed into the dust, and out of the dust came the image and likeness of God. It's way beyond what our human mind can understand. A human, a pure human, a perfect human, came out of the dust in the image and likeness of God, a mirror of God, living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. And now God wants to give all that back. He wants to do this. And he's looking at us to do it. He's looking at us to say, are you willing to give up everything to receive this? He says that you're like a cup. You must be emptied, completely emptied. I'm not going to mix this divinity with anything that's human. I want you to empty yourself out of all that is human in order to embrace the divine. And that's what Jesus is teaching us with our intellect, our memory, and our will. He's teaching us to want what God wants, to desire what Adam lost, to desire the life of the new Adam, Jesus, to desire the life of the new Eve, Mary, to want to live this abundant life, which he gave to Louisa, and now he wants to give to us. So he says, not only do we, triune God, form this life, but we, triune God, raise this life, and with our highest enjoyment and with divine delight, we, triune God, develop our creative art around this celestial creature. So he did this with the Blessed Mother. He's done this now with Louisa. And what Jesus is asking of us is to allow God to reform us. I mean, if you've ever worked with clay, if you've ever been a potter's wheel, it's just it's just clay. Yet you can form it to be what you want. And if it's if it gets corrupted, you crush it back down and you start over again. And that's what God has done with Louisa. God has crushed Louisa back down. And he says, now I'm going to form you the way I want to form you. And that's why he said to her when she was 17, go to bed and stay there. Then he said to her, stop eating. Then he said to her, stop drinking. And then he said to her, stop sleeping. He says, I'm reforming you. Now, if she had said, hey, I've got to eat, I've got to sleep, I've got to drink, God would say, fine, I can't use you. So he's saying the same thing to us. He's saying, I'm going to teach you how to live the way I lived. I'm going to teach you prayers. Our Lady says that, powerful prayers that Our Lady prayed. And as we learn to do this, God is reforming us. He's not as violent with us as he is with as he was with Louisa or the Blessed Mother. I mean, what she went through, Theotokos, the Mother of God, she had to sacrifice her son. She had to watch him die on the cross. I mean, the torture that she went through, no human could survive. And yet, God gave her these seven swords of sorrow to help us get through what's coming. God is doing this. So he's saying very clearly, not only do we form this divine life, but we raise this divine life with our highest enjoyment and divine delight. We develop our creative art around this celestial creature. We then become a celestial creature. This is what God's waiting for. He says to Louisa, I want to make every human being a divine masterpiece. That means our uniqueness is so important to God that what he's going to bring about is something that's never been seen before. It's not saintly. It's not good. It's not holy. It's divine. You know, Jesus says the saints will have a nimbus around their head, a halo around their head. He says, but with Louisa, he says, Louisa possesses the light of God within her soul. As Jesus possessed the light on Mount Tabor, as Mary possessed the light of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. So it's not just a nimbus that we're going to receive. It's divine light that's going to radiate through us. Why? That's the life of the new Adam, Jesus. That's the life of the new Eve, Mary. And the only one who possesses this life at this point is Louisa. So he's saying, let me produce in you a divine masterpiece, which means you have to be totally surrendered to God. You have to say to God, do with me as you wish. And you might have in your mind, well, I want to be a great oil painting. I want to become a divine masterpiece as an oil painting. God will have in his mind maybe something completely different. You know, maybe a statue out of marble. Whatever God has planned as God, he says, this is what I want to form. This is what I want to raise. And this would be God's highest enjoyment, his divine delight, when we develop our creative art around the little children of the Holy Divine Will, which will become celestial creatures. How can you become a celestial creature? By, may your kingdom come and reign on earth as it is in heaven. You can live this divine life on earth. That's the fulfillment of the Our Father. You don't wait until you die. The saints had to wait until they died because they didn't have Louisa. They didn't have the Book of Heaven. So now Jesus is saying to us, I want you to enter into this life. I want you to begin to live this abundant life. So Jesus says, and the chain of prodigies begins. And that's what happens with us too. The chain of prodigies. And as you get glimpses of this, you know, in the divine will, everything that you begin to think, say, and do has a divine consequence. These are the celestial prodigies that begins in us. He says these will be never before seen prodigies that are going to happen. In whom? In the little children of the Holy Divine Will. So God is waiting for us to give our fiat. And the sooner we can give our fiat, the sooner God can bring about these, as he says, divine prodigies that have to happen in us. And it's not just one, it's a chain. One after another, after another, after another. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to give our fiat. And that's the life. The life of the divine will is fiat, where we say to God, let it be done as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission to the Lord God Almighty. And you say, I'm going to give up my plans. Lord, I want to place my life in your hands. Do with me as you wish. Do with me as you want. And that means we have to begin to think with the mind of Christ. You know, is Jesus our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, or not? And if he is our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and our King, he's going to take care of everything he has planned. But if you're worried, you're fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, it's saying to Jesus, I don't trust you. And God says, I can't give you anything if there's no trust, if there's no confidence in me. That's why what God said to St. Faustina, Jesus, I trust in you. This is the final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return. That's why John Paul II did everything that he did going worldwide, was to prepare the world for this great gift of the divine will. Everything's ready. So she, this is Louisa, possesses her creator. Can you imagine this? A human possessing God. See, the saints were to know, love, and serve God. Louisa and the children of divine will are to know, love, and possess God. It's a mutual possession that God wants. So she, Louisa, possesses her creator. And our divine will, operating in Louisa, becomes the bearer of everyone and of everything. Do you see what God is asking us to do? When you pray, it's not you praying anymore. Your prayers are worthless. They're really nothing. Jesus says, I want you to pray the way I pray. I want you to pray the way my mother prays. So he's asking us to let go of our wants and entering into what God wants. He says very clearly, as you possess God, the divine will operates in you. So this is what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to possess him. Okay, how can you possess God? By living in the divine will. How are we living in the divine will? Every time we're peaceful, joyful, and happy, we're in the divine will of God. When we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, Jesus says, you're not there. I'm not there. God wants us to enter into this abundant life. So he says, becoming the bearer of everyone and everything. So Our Lady is the bearer of Jesus and also us. Jesus shows that when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, everyone was conceived with Jesus in the womb of Mary. See how God makes our life perfect. We are born of the same life that Jesus is. So this is why Our Lady is our mother and our queen. Possessing God, the divine will operated in us, we become the bearer of everyone and everything. So when you pray, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the church already teaches this. You're the only one in church, and there's exposition going on. You represent all mankind. That's what the church teaches. Now Jesus is saying, as you not only look at God, but as you possess God, you know, image and likeness, the divine will operating in us, we become the bearers of everyone and everything. So when we pray, it's in the name of everyone and everything. When you pray in active contrition, you say right at the very beginning, I pray this in the divine will. I want to kneel in front of Jesus. And I want to say to Jesus, I am truly sorry. In the name of every human being, past, present, future, every human being that can't say it, every human being that has no idea how to say it, we stand in their place. As Moses stood in the breach for Israel. We stand in the breach with Louisa, praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And we say, have mercy on me. Forgive me. I am sorry. I was living in my human will, my human misery. I want to live in God's holy divine will. You see, what happens is God hears every human being and everything, every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, saying to God, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. So what happens at that point? It's an explosion of I love yous from the beginning of time to the end of time. God hears this because he hears us praying it. He hears our voice praying it. Do you see what's happening? It's not just I'm praying for my family. It's not just I'm praying for my friends. I pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Why? Because we possess God. Why? Because the divine will is operating in us, having us become the bearers of everyone and everything. So our I love you to God, we could say for every heartbeat, every breath that every person ever took from in the womb, from the first heartbeat of every child conceived, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. And what happens is God hears everyone's heartbeat praying with our voice. I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. See, this is the prayer to the Holy Spirit. The face of the earth is being transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. How is this recreating? We will possess God. The divine will operate in us. We will become bearers of everyone and everything. We will be recreated, and the face of the earth will be transformed by the Holy Spirit working in us. Do you see what God's got planned? He saved the best for last. He's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life, the life that he gave to Louisa. So he says this, it's even more than that. If the soul thinks, she brings us, triune God, the thoughts of every human being, past, present, and future. See, it's what are people thinking? Let's just think of the television shows and the music and the movies and the books. Who is adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God? That's what heaven is. That's why Jesus says, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Nobody, or very, very few, if any. So what Jesus is saying, if you are one with Louisa in the divine will thinking, you will bring to us, triune God, the thoughts of every human being adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God. Do you see how great this gift of the divine will is? Mother Teresa brought one baby in at a time in India. We're to get everyone and everything now to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. If the soul acts as supplier and repairer, and she acts as supplier and repairer for all the human intelligences. So you're repairing what every human being has ever thought. You're repairing. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that we think humanly. We think thoughts that are not of you. And I am sorry this is happening to you, and I want to repair this. May every thought be an I love you to you. May every word be an I love you to you. May every deed be an I love you to you. And what's happening is we're repairing the face of the earth. See, Jesus says he doesn't need everybody to do it. He says, I need a few souls. And so we say to Jesus, I would like to become one of those few souls. I want to do what you want. I want to bring about the repair of the face of the earth. See, this whole gift was given to Adam. Adam was a human. Adam was not the son of God. Adam was not the mother of God. God gave this gift to Adam to give to his children, and he lost it. So Jesus comes to earth to redeem. Our Lady comes to earth to co-redeem with Christ. And what happens? Now, 2,000 years later, they have this newborn, this firstborn of the divine will, to begin to live the life that Adam lost. And so he's saying to us, I've done this with Louisa. It's complete. He says, I'm offering it to you if you wish, if you want. And so he's really, this is, our God is gratuitous. He's constantly giving. He can't stop. He does this with Louisa, and he says, I will give you what I gave to Louisa. And all we have to do is say fiat. That's it. So Jesus says, if she speaks, if she works, if she walks, she carries the words, the works, and the steps of every human being, past, present, and future. So when you're walking down the street, Jesus, walk am I walking in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, to adore you with every step, to glorify you with every step, to praise you with every step. See, you begin to live heaven now. That's heaven. Heaven is adoring God and praising God and loving God and worshiping God. So you see, this is what's happening. If you speak, if you work, if you walk, you will carry these words, the works, the steps of everyone in a divine manner. It's Jesus in you that's doing it. Jesus, walk in my walking, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Jesus, speak in my speaking, in the name of everyone, past, present, and future. So this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has to happen is happening because of us living in the divine will linked to Louisa. The creation itself, listen to this, makes a decorous cortege for Louisa and for us. And Louisa acts as the bearer of the sky, the bearer of the stars, the bearer of the sun, the bearer of the wind, the bearer of everything. And she does not leave anything behind. What does that mean? Okay, when Jesus looked at the stars, when Jesus looked at the sky, when Jesus looked at the sun, it was he's the one that produced it. We're entering into that prime act of God in creation, the prime act of God in redemption. And now, as we enter into the prime act of God in sanctification, we participate in what God has done. Image and likeness. Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. You know, he says, you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is what this means. The creation is happy. The creation sees a human as the bearer of the sky, of the stars, of the sun, of the wind. This is the reflection of God. This is the mere reflection of God. That's the first 10 volumes. How to become a divine mirror of Jesus. You know, and then the 11th through 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, 20 through 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. God is asking us to enter into this. So when you're outside, it's not just mowing the lawn or, you know, cutting logs. It's to become the bearer of the sky, of the stars, to participate. I mean, you see that with the canticle of Daniel. Sun and moon, praise the Lord. Nights and days, praise the Lord. Lightning and clouds, praise the Lord. It's to enter into this life that Jesus lived. And not only that, but to, when God said, let there be light, to participate in that with God. See, when God breathed his image and likeness into the dust, he wanted to hear, see, smell. He wanted us to be one with him in creation, one with him in redemption. And that's why what sanctification is to the completion of creation and redemption. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to do this. So, Louisa, and again, it does not leave anything behind. Nothing is left outside the prime act of God. Everything enters into that one act of God, that prime act of God. And we are supposed to participate in that one act. So therefore, Louisa brings us, Triune God, the homages, the glory of all our created things. And that's what we do. Again, going back to the canticle of Daniel, the song of St. Francis, Sun and Moon, Brother Sun, Sister Moon. It's to enter into this life of all that is around us. And to give God the homage, to give God the glory of everything that has been created. To adore God and to love God and to praise God. That's your rounds. Sun and moon, you know. I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And you have brought this about. I want you, Jesus, to gaze in my gazing so I can adore the Father with your adoration. I can love the Father with your love. I can praise the Father with your praise. It's to enter into this life. We have learned well the prayers of the saints. And Jesus says, now I want to teach you the way I prayed. I want to teach you the way my mother prayed. We will bring the God, the Triune God, the homage, the glory of all created things, even the homage of the sweet song of the little tiny bird. Again, adoring God and loving God and praising God. As you go outside and you're participating in the sun, remember what Louisa said when she first went to the sun after 40 years. It was volume 26. She says she goes out into the sun and she felt the kisses of the sun. She felt the kisses of the wind. You know, and she participated in what God had created. Remember the garden. This garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It's the same thing for you. When you go outside, your world, wherever you are, can be a simile of the Garden of Eden as well. And he says, it's not as beautiful and as flowery as the real garden, but he says, I want you to enter into this life. I want you to begin to praise God with all of creation, to praise God and to love God with all of redemption, to enter into this life of sanctification. So he says very clearly, the sweet song of the tiny bird. It's adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God. And you become the voice of that bird, saying to God, I adore you and love you and praise you and thank you for, because this is what the bird is saying to you, Lord. I'm giving this to you as Jesus heard the birds. And Jesus gave the glory and the praise, the homage to the Father. Possessing the divine life of God who created them. Everything makes a crown for Louisa and for the souls linked to Louisa. Rather, they all want to be carried by Louisa, who possessing the speaking act, or as Jesus said before, the speaking voice, so that for each one she tells the speaking story of divine love for which they have been created by their God, by their Creator, created by their Creator. God wants us to speak to Him. See, it's breathing. It's breathing in this I love you. And then you breathe out this divine I love you back to God. It's not human. And this is why Jesus says, I want the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to begin to live heaven on earth. That's what Jesus is waiting for. So he's really looking at us to do this. In fact, Louisa, the one who possesses our divine will, our volition, acquires our divine jealousy of love. And that's what God does. In each of our lives, God is jealous. And what he does is he puts us in situations where nobody's around us. And this is good. God wants to be with us. God wants to be with us. He's jealous. He's a jealous God of divine love. And he loves us so much that he wants us to be alone with him. He says, because we, Triune God, find everything for ourselves, want everything for ourselves. And when we enter into this divine will, we become one with God, and God does not want to share us with anybody else. That's what he does. With this highest justice, because there is nothing that we, Triune God, have not given. Therefore, with divine justice, we, Triune God, want and must have everything. It belongs to God. And he wants to be sole owner of us. And this is the thing that he remember Saint Teresa when she fell out of the stagecoach. She said to God, "As fell into the mud, no wonder you don't have so many friends if you treat me, your friend, like this." And it's the same thing. God loves us so much that He wants us to be alone. And when we're alone, we can read, we can study, we can put this into practice. That's what God's waiting for. And with highest divine justice, because there's nothing that we, triune God, have not given, therefore with divine justice, we want everything. He wants every aspect of us. He wants our thoughts, our words, our deeds, one with Him. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him in any way, shape, or form. So she, Louisa, taken by our same folly of divine love, wants everything in order to give us, triune God, everything. So we take everything. We look at the sun, the moon, the stars. We look at the heavens at night. We say, "I want all of this. All this I love you, I want to give back to you divinely. You breathe in your divine I love you. I'm breathing it in, and now I want to give back to you, God, a divine I love you." We look at every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water, every leaf on a tree is a divine I love you to us. We want to take everything and give it back to God divinely. So again, we have to get out of the way. And if we're in the way, God says, fine. If you want to be there, fine. Jesus says, "I want to be there." Jesus wants us to surrender. So we want to take everything so that we can give back to God what is God's. We can breathe it in. That's like oxygen. You breathe in the oxygen if you have an oxygen machine. And then you breathe out oxygen. And you're breathing in and breathing out oxygen. You're breathing in the divine I love you, and you're breathing back out a divine I love you. And jealously, she wants to bring us, triune God, everything in order to tell us, triune God, for everyone and for each created thing, her little word of love. And that's what it is. That's why the rounds are so important. You can pray the rounds of Easter all the way up to October. The Latin rite has, the 10th sun after Sunday after Easter, the 15th Sunday after Easter. You can do the Easter rounds all the way up to the Feast of Christ the King. It's the most beautiful of the rounds to pray, to adore God, to love God, to glorify God, to worship God. And if God wants to give you a song, sing it to Him. You know, give this canticle back to Him, adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him. Therefore, the one Louisa, and this is Louisa, who lives in our divine will, is never alone. And that's the wonderful thing. He makes sure that you're alone with Him. You're not lonely. You're alone with Him. You're alone with God. And so therefore, Louisa and us who live in the divine will are never alone. First, she is with her Creator, which whom she is always in a contest of love. See, God breathes the I love you into us. We breathe the I love you back to Him. It's constant. It's never ending. How can they love each other more? And so it's breathing in. You want to see something more in creation, to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to glorify God. Then all things being around her, she acts as bearer of everything to God whom she loves, to God who, being infinite love, wants to see all things in the creature, in Louisa and us, converted back into divine love for His divine love. He gives His divine love to us so that we can give back to Him divine love. That's what God is waiting for. That's what God is longing for. See, this whole thing of Louisa and the Book of Heaven is to begin to live heaven. God doesn't want you to wait until you die. He wants you to begin to love heaven now, adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him and thanking Him and blessing Him and worshiping Him as the saints do, as the angels do. But He wants this now. This is the way This is the way paradise should have been. Always glorifying God and praising God, worshiping God. The joy of heaven is adoring God. And what God does is as you adore Him, as you praise Him, as you love Him, as you glorify Him, what happens is it gets more beautiful than before. More beautiful than what the instant before. So He's asking us, pleading with us to do this. He needs us to accomplish this. He needs us to say fiat. And if we can say fiat, it's great. It's wonderful. It's what He has planned from the beginning of time. So read this again. Study it. Enter into this life with Louisa. If you don't know how to do it, ask Louisa. Louisa, show me how to do this. And Louisa will be more than happy. She wants to share this with you. She is so pleased that we are reading what God gave to her, that she's going to fill us with the sharing in this divinity if we're asking, if we're seeking it. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.